Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Jonah Bay on Hindsight Radio.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Is the best government really the one that governs the least? Can we ever have a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution? If the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, why is the government all over us? Tonight, whatever happened to freedom? Understanding where we go from here should start with understanding how we got here. We are the free and independent people of the United States of America. We are free because those who preceded us fought a war against a person who was then the world's grandest king and who presided over what was then the world's grandest empire. The founding fathers risked, as they like to tell us, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the freedom and independence they won and we have inherited. But they were not saints, and initially their cause was not popular. From the records available today, the people who measure historical trends have concluded that in 1776, only about one-third of Americans supported the Revolution, about one-third of Americans opposed it, and about one-third of them didn't care. When I first looked at these numbers, I thought, in 1776, this was the grandest fight for the greatest amount of freedom for the most people at any point in history. So who could possibly oppose it? And who in their right mind could not care? Fast forward to today and ask, who could possibly support a government that regulates everything from the strength of the water pressure in your shower to the size of the toilet bowl in your home to the thickness of the leather in your shoes? Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key? Perhaps the colonists who didn't care if they freely chose their government or were cared for by a benevolent tyrant had an odd way of knowing what was coming. Perhaps those who opposed the revolution were afraid to take on the king, to challenge authority, and to risk their comfortable lives for the unknown. Well, we all know what happened. A relatively small part of the population pushed the culture and society toward freedom. And the freedoms that they chose were pure. I mean, after we won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, the new government and the political class assured all Americans that they could think as they wished and say what they thought and publish what they said, that they could associate or not associate with anyone. They could worship as they chose or choose not to worship. They could defend themselves with guns even against tyrants. That troops would never enter their homes, that only neutral judges would issue search warrants, and that the government could not take their lives, their freedom, or their property without a trial, at which their fault would be proven in front of a neutral jury. All this was guaranteed to the first generation of Americans and to their posterity, that would be us, because much of it had been denied them by the king and the parliament, and because Americans came to believe, even the one-third that were afraid and the one-third that didn't care, that these rights are ours by virtue of our humanity. Whether you believe that we are the highest order of natural selection, or whether you believe, as I do, that we were created by God in his image and likeness, you know in your heart that these natural yearnings, as St. Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Jefferson called them, are our natural rights, are a part of our humanity, and cannot long be denied us. And yet, they have been denied. The same founding fathers who wrote that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, in fact, enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts, which punished speech that was critical of them, critical of the government. This happened because people were afraid to challenge the tyranny of the majority. America, the greatest losses to our freedom have come not from someone attacking us, but from the government ignoring the Constitution and the majority letting them get away with it. The worst amendments to the Constitution were not those ratified by the states, but rather were amendments by consensus, where all three branches of government agreed to look the other way. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. So what shall we do? We should challenge authority, no matter who is in charge. We should challenge the majority whenever it curtails anybody's freedom. We should side with freedom no matter what the government says. We should vote out of office those who push the government outside the Constitution, no matter what earmarks they just brought home. And we should make the government afraid of us. Afraid of us. Because as Jefferson reminded us, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. From New York, defending freedom, everybody's freedom, whenever I can. So long, America.
Peace to the guards. You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
Peace to the gods for a lonely night. scroll in one email. Like, I don't know a scroll when I see one, right? But anyway, it says, greetings, Jonah. I listened to the show that was in response to my email relating to your injunction. I must state I am really shocked and disappointed by the way you popped off. Now, let me say this. You write some crazy-ass email to me, I'm going to do just what a comedian would do. Wherever the hell you act up is where you get smacked up. So when you gave it to my whole crew and not to me, you put it in court already. So what am I going to do? Respond to it in court. Make sure I have plenty of witnesses to see what the hell I'm saying and what this person said, because I'm reading verbatim of what they wrote. So let me go on. I specifically stated in the email that I am in agreement with your overall message and that it was not an attack. Could fool me, brother. How is it not an attack if you ain't addressing me personally? You send it to everyone email but me. Claim that you don't know the email because you just said you listened to the old show. And I don't know how many times I say my email. My personal email is jonahbay@gmail.com. Very easy to fucking know. Very easy to remember. But let me go on. That blinding light called ego got in your way, and you clearly did not comprehend my message because you did not address the aspect of the injunction that I pointed out in the email. Oh, fuck, you talked about the email. You talked about the injunction. I went through the whole injunction. So what part don't you comprehend that I addressed? If I went through the whole injunction and showed that it is damn near perfection, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me go on. It is clear to me that you did not understand my message. So I'm going to make this crystal clear by giving you an understanding so you can elevate to an overstanding. Once again. Overstanding is that we were taught by Dr. Malachi Z. York. Like, I don't fucking know the word overstanding. Let me go on. You know what, Jonah? Maybe I was not crystal clear. Now, what is he doing? Wavering. First, you said, now, let me just keep on reading. What I should have stated originally was that the 5.1 constitutional challenge aspects that was mentioned and shown in the injunction webinar was structurally flawed based on the elements that I had pointed out in the first email. See what he did? Now, I killed everything about the injunction being wrong, so he can't say the injunction is wrong. So now he want to say Rule 5.1, constitutional challenge is wrong. So what I'm going to do tonight, y'all, we're going to have a 5.1 constitutional challenge class tonight. Now, the funny thing is, I don't remember no one ever really breaking down Rule 5.1 or even discussing it before Jonah Bay brought it. Now, every fucking body's an expert. But you know what? Y'all know what my motto is. My motto is, I reserve the right to change my mind if people come out with new and better information. Now, the thing about it is, I ain't seen no one come out with no new and better information, including this motherfucker. But he's sure acting like in this email he did or can. But anyway, let me go on. I apologize if I was not crystal clear. I didn't see any defects in the actual injunction. Of course you didn't. After I brung out that it wasn't no defects, but now, all of a sudden, you want to switch it up. It is the 5.1 constitutional challenge structure that is defective. Now, notice, if y'all remember, the dude is learning from me. He's learning from me. He's looking at my DVDs. He's studying what I put out. But he's telling me I'm wrong. What are you basing it off? What are you basing it off of that I'm wrong? But let me go on. I specifically outlined the details of it in the email. You may have gotten confused about what I was pointing out because your injunction is co-joint with the 5.1 challenge. I don't remember doing that either, but, you know, this is a long time ago. That's like almost 2 years ago I did the 5.1 webinar or the injunction webinar, too. So, you know, that's how that be. Neither here or there. Let me go on. Jonah, do you follow your own prescription of being and acting in honor? Clearly, I'm always in honor. If you took issue to what I had written in the email, why did you not respond back via email? Maybe I would have responded back to the email if you would have sent me the email and I would have had your email address. But since you never wrote it to my email, you wrote it to everyone else and everyone's sending me a copy, so all I have is Akeem's email address or Khalifa's email address because they sent me a copy of this bullshit. You know, maybe that's why I didn't respond to you. And even if you did, I would have responded by email and on the air because that's what I do. I talk about what goes on in my life and use my life as an example to teach people on how to handle shit. So that's what I do. And then they say, before taking it to the streets, your radio show. Well, first of all, this is how I look stupid enough to go to a goddaggone comedy show and haggle the comedian. Everyone came there to see him, and he has the mic. You deserve to get beat up if you're haggling the dude with the mic. So take that. Now you're going to take it. Then he goes on, and this guy is so wishy-washy. He goes back and forth, which is crazy. This will be the exact last time that I'll ever respond to him ever again because it looks to me like he just wants attention. And I ain't got time for that. But anyway, it goes on and says, I really didn't mind how you did it. I actually expected and calculated your move. Now, funny thing about it, when we read it, he said he was shocked and appalled. I'm shocked and disappointed by the way you popped off. Shock means it caught him by surprise. So how in the hell now he's talking about he didn't mind and he actually expected it and calculated my move? Right? But let me go on. The point is your action was hypocritical in regards to what you always speaking on going into a brother on an issue before making a public scene. Now, I ain't never said that. I ain't never said I would not go in on no one. I would go to my brother first. First of all, the way you coming at me is crazy. So you going to get crazy. And secondly, if anyone's been listening to me, I go by the 48 laws of power. When someone's trying to damage your reputation, you destroy theirs right off the rip. Don't come at me with that biblical shit, turn the other cheek, go to your brother and try to fix it before taking him to court. Nigga, I ain't never said I was into that biblical shit. Fuck you. Nigga, I'm into commerce and law. So if y'all don't know it, now y'all know. Jonah is strictly into commerce and law. Straight up. So I don't understand what this agent type dude is coming from. And he's coming from, you know, Dr. York's teaching, Nuwabian, and shit like that. Like, that's going to affect me because I went through that school. Well, guess what, nigga? I'm not no damn Nuwabian. I was. I went through that school already. I'm not that anymore. So don't be trying to come at me with all this Nuwabian talk bullshit. Because personally, I don't give a fuck about you or Nuwabi. Everything is a fucking means to an end for me. I'm a student. I go and learn. Once I fucking learn it, get my degree, fuck y'all. The same way I feel about school. See what I'm saying? But let me go on. don't think I'm just gonna rant, y'all. I'm like I said, it's gonna go into a lesson about Rule 5.1. You know what I mean? Anytime I get on one of these tangencies, I go back to teaching, and it just makes me better at what I'm teaching. You know what I mean? Now it says, since you don't know who I am or what I am, I'm going to give you a pass. Now, that's what kills me, because he's sure talking like he's so superior. If you're so superior, why do you have to come learn from my DVDs and all that anyway? You shouldn't need it. You are beyond me, right? Even though I'm not here to fight and argue with you or anyone else, it does not negate the supreme fact that I am a warrior type, a defender of supreme facts. Take your facts and go shove it up your ass, man. No one asked you to come here and try to learn from me. Now, he said, now I ain't checked out this. I have not checked out this book. I don't know what this book says. I'm going to check out the book. But it seems to me you didn't know shit about no injunction or this book of this person until you learned from me and did your own research and found this motherfucker. I'm going to check out this book because it may help us to even get it better. You know, I'm open. I am always a student. I am open. It says, number one, do you have a copy of the Judiciary series that is authored by attorney Frederick Graves? Now, y'all already know, I don't fuck with attorneys. Why? They were the ones that caused this whole problem. They the ones who misconstrue the words of Congress and bring forth the codes. And the codes don't say what the public law says. And they the ones who created legalese that sounds like regular English, but it has totally different definitions. You know what I mean? Don't trust them motherfuckers. Neither did the founding fathers or mothers of America or our ancestors trust these motherfuckers, right? Then it says, did you know that the elements of the injunction is detailed in the judiciary entitled cause of action and civil defense? And I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Hell no, I didn't know that. Why? Because my information came from my ancestors. And I put that shit together, the injunction, and it works. Right? I don't give a damn how they wrote it in their goddamn books. I'm sure they didn't put it out there the way I did in plain, simple English. You know that's true, right? Now, I'm through with this bullshit of what he's talking about. Let's get into the injunction, Rule 5.1. Now, I hope y'all know, most people, y'all can look up federal rules of procedures, right? Federal rules of procedures go by Rule 1, Rule 2, Rule 3, Rule 4, Rule 5, Rule 6, Rule 7, Rule 8, all the way up to whatever rule it goes up to. I like Rule 17. I like Rule 44. You know, Rule 17 is one dealing with plaintiff and defendant's capacity to sue. Rule 44 deals with proving an official record. That's why we authenticate and all that. I don't remember anyone coming out talking about these rules before I did and explaining and how to use it and get remedy. Neither here or there. Got different rules. Now, the funny thing is, if you would have just been going through the rules, federal procedures, and just in numbers, you would not have found Rule 5.1. It's one of the few that is written that way. See, because if you put in Rule 5, you do not get the constitutional challenge, right? They did that as a code on purpose. They didn't want you to find Rule 5.1. You know what I mean? You put in Rule 5, and it comes out as serving and filing pleadings. Serving and filing pleadings, right? So it was extremely difficult for anyone to even find Rule 5.1, the constitutional challenge in the federal rules of procedure. It's just a fact, right? right? You wouldn't have never found it unless someone told you about it, right? And for most people, I'm not saying I was the first one to do it, but for most people out there, they only found out through me. That's how they found out about it, right? Now, since we're going to go through Rule 5.1, of course, I got to first read Rule 5.1. So it says Rule 5.1, constitutional challenge to a statute. Now, let me say this. Even though this is Rule 5.1, there's actually a public law for this as well. You'll do good to actually find a public law for it, but I don't really use the public law. All I just do is say constitutional challenge, because it is the Constitution that this falls upon. And I'm going to reveal a secret about these codes today, since we're on it. But it says, notice by a party. A party that files a pleading, written motion, or other paper drawing into question the constitutionality of a federal or state statute must promptly. Now, number one, a lot of y'all are getting tricked. A lot of y'all are doing the constitutional challenge on the state level, and they're telling you it doesn't apply to state. Y'all must remember, y'all have been dumbed down, and we are illiterate. It was the school system, the pressure system that did it, the school system that came from Germany, pre-World War II system, right? So, yes, this applies to the state statute or the federal statute, right? And it says, number one, file a notice of constitutional question, identifying the paper that raises it. So you got to put in a paper that says that you have a constitutional question about this law, right? And then it goes on and says, if A, federal statute is questioned and the parties do not include the United States, one of its agencies, or one of its officers or employees in an official capacity. Now, right there, that should confuse the shit out of you. Because it's trying to say, in a very convoluted way, this was legal ease. It said that the parties do not include the United States. So they make it seem like you can't, the United States codes into question. One of its agencies or one of its officers or employees in an official capacity. In an official capacity. Official capacity means it has to be a real binding law that was done correctly under the Constitution. If it's one of their special laws, how do we know that, Jonah? How do we know that? Well, if you go to Georgia, Georgia's Constitution, you know, I taught this about the injunction. This is why he said it was co-mingled, because they're almost one and the same, but they're not. One is before, one is after. You Google Georgia Constitution, then what comes up is the third one, Georgia Constitution, Georgia Info. Then you go into, my favorite one is 1877. That's the one I go into. Then, they change this website a little something, but it's all good. I know it verbatim. Now what I gotta do is find where I wanna go look at. All right, Section 4 of the Bill of Rights of the 1877 Georgia Constitution. It goes in and says, Laws of a general nature shall have uniform operation throughout the state, and no special law shall be enacted in any case for a provision that has been made by an existing general law. No general law affecting private rights shall be varied in any particular case by special legislation, except with free consent. In writing of the person affected thereby, no person under legal disability of contract is capable of such consent. What it's saying is they got such things as special laws that you can sign and it would apply to you. So when Rule 5.1 is talking about it has to be in an official capacity, it has to be in an official capacity as a general law. It can't be one of those special laws, right? So now let me go on to Section B of Rule 5.1. B, a state statute is questioned and the parties do not include the state, one of its agencies, or one of its officers or employees in an official capacity. It said it again for the state. So the way if you just educated by the pressure system, you would feel like this shit makes no sense. I'm going against the state with their state statute. But was it in their official capacity? No, it was in their private capacity as a private corporation. It was the state of that came after you. That's why you're able to use this. Section 2 of Rule 5.1. It tells you, serve the notice and paper on the Attorney General of the United States, if it's a federal question, statute in question, or on the state's Attorney General if a state statute is questioned. See, now, right there, it should make you know this is some bullshit. Why? They just told you in Section A and Section B, you can't have no parties that's connected to the state. But then it tells you to mail it to your Attorney General of the United States or your state attorney of your state. Because like I said, the key word is official capacity. Now let me go on. Either by certified or registered mail or by sending it to electronic address designated by the Attorney General for these purposes. Now, I teach all about public and private. So when I send it registered mail in red to the actual man doing business as the Attorney General of the United States or the state Attorney General. He's doing whatever the man's doing business as state Attorney General. I send it registered mail, right? Return receipt. Now, Section 2, subsection B, certification by the court. The court must, under 28 U.S.C. 243, certify that the appropriate attorney general that a statute had been questioned. That's why you're going to do it yourself. Now we're going to, they have 28 U.S.C. 2403 highlighted in blue. You're going to click on it and read it. You're going to need to read what that section says because it's inside Rule 5.1, right? So here we go. In any action, suit, or proceeding in a court of the United States to which the United States or any agency, officer, or employee thereof is not a party wherein the constitutionality of an act of Congress affecting the public interest is drawn in question, the court shall certify such fact to the Attorney General and shall permit the United States to intervene presentation of evidence. If evidence is otherwise admissible in a case for argument on the question of the constitutionality, the United States shall subject the applicable provisions of law, have all the rights of a party and subject to all the liabilities of a party as to court costs, to the extent necessary for proper presentation of the facts of law relating to the question of the constitutionality. Now, something I ain't never brought up before. Y'all don't even understand that y'all can do, y'all can bring a suit and do a constitutional challenge. In other words, you can do a rule 5.1 before you even have a problem with driving and make it where it would never apply to you. Because that's what it just said. Right? Now let me go to section B. In any action, suit, or proceeding in a court of the United States to which a state, agency, officer, or employee therefore is not a party, wherein the constitutionality of any statute of the state affecting the public interest is drawn into question, the court shall certify such fact to the Attorney General of the state and shall permit the state to intervene for presentation of evidence, if evidence is otherwise admissible in the case, and for argument on the question of the constitutionality. The state shall, subject to the applicable provisions of law, have all rights of the party and subject to all liabilities of the party as of court course or the extent necessary for proper presentation of facts and law relating to the question of the constitutionality. Now, the thing about it, on the very bottom of 28 U.S.C. 2403, it has the public law. So y'all can look up the actual public law of Rule 5.1 and 28 U.S.C. 2403. It's right there on the bottom of the page. Now, so there you have it. When you do bring in the constitutional challenge and you do it outside of a case, you make a defendant or you make the United States a defendant when you use it that way. Or you can do it the way it's done in Rule 5.1, right? So, let's go back. Now, we're at Section C of Rule 5.1, intervention, final decision on the merits. Unless the court sets a later time, the Attorney General may intervene within 60 days. In law, may means must. So, I'm going to put the word must. The Attorney General must intervene within 60 days after the notice is filed or the court certificate certifies the challenge, whichever is easier. Before the time to intervene expires, the court must reject the constitutional challenge, but not enter a final judgment holding the statute unconstitutional. Did y'all get that? They're going to reject the constitutional challenge according to this rule every time. They're going to reject it every time. This is why I be telling y'all they're doing the procedure. They're going to reject it. When they do the rejection, you're supposed to already ask for a dismissal. Why? Because under Rule 12, they lack subject matter jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction. Why? Because if they cannot come forth and prove that it is constitutional, then you do not have to follow that statute. Why do we know that? Because let's go back to 1877, Georgia Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Section 4, Paragraph 2. Legislative acts in violation of this Constitution or the Constitution of the United States are void, and the judiciary shall so declare them. It doesn't get no clearer than that. No clearer than that. Okay? Now, so they lack jurisdiction. Let me go to Section D, no forfeiture. A party's failure to file and serve the notice or the court's failure to certify does not forfeit a constitutional claim or defense that is otherwise timely asserted. You got to get it in there timely, and it's going to work, right? One thing that I told y'all, and this is what this dude came up and said it was flawed because I updated it. And I've said, and it really wasn't an update, because many a times I told y'all don't use the code. Use the words inside the code. Follow the code, but do not use the code. So what am I saying? This is Rule 5.1, Constitutional Challenge to Statute. I would tell you just to do Constitutional Challenge to Statute. Don't put Rule 5.1. Just put Constitutional Challenge. Right? Now, what I like to do, they had notes. It says Committee Notes on Rules, 2006. And then they added something in 2007, December 1st. Rule 5.1 implements 28 U.S.C. 2403, replacing the final three sentences of Rule 24C. New Rule 5.1 requires a party that files a pleading written motion or other paper drawing in question of the constitutionality of a federal or state statute to file a notice of constitutional question and serve it on the United States Attorney General or the state. So you can call it right there what they just called it, notice of constitutional question. Because that's what it's telling you to do. It's giving you these notes, it's giving you more clear instructions on how to do it. Now it says the party must promptly file and serve the notice of constitutional question. This notice requirement supplements the court's duty to certify a constitutional challenge to the United States Attorney General or the state's attorney general. So it just said that the court won't send it, you better send it. Because it, as they put it in their words, it supplements the court's duty to do it. Supplements means, you know, it helps it out of the process along, right? Let me go on. The notice of constitutional question will ensure that the attorney general is notified of the constitutional challenge and has an opportunity to exercise the statutory right to intervene at the earliest possible point in litigation. The court certification obligation remains and is only noticed when the constitutionality of a federal or state statute is drawn in question by means other than a party's pleading, written motion, or other paper. Moving the notice and certification provision from Rule 24C to a new rule is designed to attract the party's attention to these provisions by locating them in the vicinity of the rules that require notice by service and pleading. So, if you wanted to do your constitutional challenge correctly, you have to go look up Rule 24C. Right? Now, Rule 5.1 goes beyond the requirements of 2403 and the former Rule 24C provision by requiring notice and certification of a constitutional challenge to any federal or state statute, not only those affecting the public interest. It is better to assure through notice that the Attorney General is able to determine whether to seek intervention on the ground that the act or the statute affects the public interest. Rule 5.1 refers to the federal statute rather than 2403, reference to an act of Congress to maintain consistency in the civil rules vocabulary. They just told you that these rules ain't an act of Congress because the public laws are. But let me go on. The statute means any congressional enactment that would qualify as an act of Congress. Didn't I just tell y'all when I was making the correction, so-called correction, dude was beefing, I keep on telling y'all need to pull up the actual public law with the code. You put the public law there, and then you put the code in the four corners, saying that's what you're calling into question, right? Because let's go back to the Georgia Constitution of 1877, right? It said legislative acts in violation of the Constitution or the Constitution of the United States are void, and the judiciary so shall declare them. Don't y'all understand those codes are not legislative acts? The public laws are legislative acts. Y'all have to know the difference between public and private. The public law is considered the private. The code is considered the public because they turn private corporations into the public by having more of y'all dealing with the public corporation. Right? So the state of Georgia is a private corporation, which they are now calling the public. And they have police officers coming after you. And the private would be Georgia State and the Sheriff's Department. Y'all got to know the difference between public and private when you're executing these things. Right? Now let me go back to Rule 5.1. Unless the court sets a later time, the 60-day period constitutional question, or from the time the court certifies the constitutional challenge, whichever is earlier. Rule 5.1a directs that a party promptly serve the notice of a constitutional question. The court may extend the 60-day period to it on its own or on motion. See, now, a lot of y'all be like, yo, it went past 60 days. Did you even go to check to see if they extended it another 60 days? They can do it on its own or by motion. Did y'all check? No. Y'all call us. Yo, what's going on with it, Jonah? Why don't y'all read the damn code? But that's okay. Jonah's here. I'll read it for you. I hope y'all catching this show that got these questions. On occasion for extension may arise if the court certifies a challenge under 2403 after party files a notice of constitutional question. Pre-trial activities may continue without interruption during the intervention period. Now, didn't I tell y'all they were doing what they were supposed to do when they was moving on with the case? But see, y'all never read this shit. But I'm going to read it, and I'm going to point it out to you now. Y'all got to learn how when we give y'all a code to read, a public law to read, y'all need to read it and read the whole thing. Stop skipping. Y'all really hate to read. Be in this shit, we have to read. We got to read our ass off. And we got to comprehend it. Let me go on. The court retains authority to grant interlocutory relief. The court may reject a constitutional challenge to a statute at any time. But the court may, and once again, the word may means must, the court must not enter a final judgment holding a statute unconstitutional before the Attorney General has responded or the intervention period has expired without response. This rule does not displace any of the statutory or rule procedures that permit dismissal of all or part of the action, including the constitutional challenge at any time, even before the service of process. Which is saying that they can dismiss the case and kick the case out altogether even before the 60 days. They could do it immediately or after. Jonah didn't write this shit. Jonah's just reading it. Now, it says, changes made after publication and comment. Rule 5.1, as proposed for adoption, incorporates several changes from the published draft. They're telling you that they made changes to the code as opposed to what was in the actual public law. The changes were made in response to public comments and adversary committee discussion. The adversary committee debate at length the question whether the party who files a notice of constitutional question should be required to serve notice on the appropriate attorney general. The service requirement was retained, but the time for the intervention was set to run from from the earlier of the notice filing the court certification. The definition of the time to intervene was changed in tandem with this change. The published rule directed the court to set an intervention time not less than 60 days from the court certification. This was changed to set 60-day period in the rule, unless the court sets a later time. The committee note points out that the court may extend the 60-day period to its own or on motion, and recognize that an occasion for an extension may arise if the 60-day period begins with the filing of the notice of the constitutional question. The method of serving the notice of constitutional question set by the published rule called for serving the United States Attorney under Civil Rule 4, and for serving the State Attorney General by certified or registered mail. The proposal has been changed to provide service in all cases either by certified or registered mail, or by sending a notice to electronic address designated by the Attorney General for this purpose. The rule proposed for adoption brings into subdivision C matters that were stated in the published committee note, but not court may reject a constitutional challenge at any time, but may not enter a final judgment holding a statute unconstitutional before the time is set to intervene expires. The published rule would have required notice and certification when an officer of the United States or a state brings suit in an official capacity. There is no need for notice in such circumstances. The word is sued were deleted to correct the oversight. Several style changes were made at the style subcommittee's suggestion. One change that straddles the line between substance and style appears in Rule 5.1D. The published version adopted the language, the present Rule 24C, failure to comply with the notice or certification requirements does not forfeit a constitutional right. This expression is changed to claim or defense from concern that reference to a right may invite confusion of the no forfeiture provision with the permits with the merits of the claim or defense that is not forfeit. Committee rules on 2007 amendment. The language of Rule 5.1 has been amended as part of the general restyling of civil rules to make them more easily understood, to make style and terminology consistent throughout the rules. These changes are intended to be stylistic only. Now, that's the whole rule to Rule 5.1. I hope y'all understand these rules much better. I hope you have seen that a lot of y'all didn't read this rule all the way through. And when I come back, I'm going to pull up my rule 5.1, and I'm going to break it down so it's be much easier for y'all to use Rule 5.1 and get the remedies that y'all seek. But before I go to break, I'm going to take one call and see what's going on out there. 484-721. Peace to the God. Peace. Peace to the God. You out there? You can hear me? 484-721. I'm gone. 860-574. Peace to the God.
Peace to the God.
Peace. What's going on?
How you doing? I'm good, man.
I'm good, man. I'm tired of all these people trying to beat up on me, trying to say my shit ain't the bomb when I don't see no one else.
Oh, man, your stuff definitely helped me out. I just got to break it down to you like this. So I've been going back and forth to court, Jonah. For the car stuff, you know what I mean? Like, they pushed it. They kept on pushing it. I have yet to get arrested tomorrow. I have a court appearance for my third contempt charge now. to support. They have yet to do anything. So I'm sitting here going over everything you read, and I never read the final notes. I should have read it. I've been to that page a million times. I never read this page. I read it, sat here, and listened to it with you word for word. So it all makes sense what you're saying, what they're doing in court, because, I mean, I never heard of someone going to child support court for, you know, a contempt charge three times in a row for the same court and not getting arrested. Not getting threatened with being arrested. The first two times, the magistrate didn't even show up. Like, he was in the court building, but he never seen me. So I knew he was there because he signed a continuance. He signed for a continuance, but he didn't want to see me.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is definitely what's going on. This is my question, brother. This is what I'm calling. I got actually two questions, okay? The first question is, I think I know the answer already. My last court date, which was 2 weeks ago, the judge, you know, he tried to assign me a lawyer or whatever, and I told him, you know what I mean? Basically, I went in there, I did my spiel or whatever. I put on the record everything. Now, my kid's mother, she's on the other side, and my belief is that this is why this even happened, because before they was just trying to keep on continuing, but she's going in there making noise. So she's on the other side. And he pretty much let me know halfway through after I introduced myself, and I let him know who I was. I was the owner of the name. You know what I mean? I got a 5.1 in. I got a default on the attorney general. I got an injunction with the attorney general on a default. We're in an agreement to the terms. You know what I mean? That the statutes don't apply. You know what I mean? And basically... He didn't really say nothing crazy, because this is the same judge that said when I came last week that if I didn't have the money, or 2 weeks ago, that I was going, I faced just 2 weeks later, and he don't arrest me. He don't even threaten to arrest me. He let me know halfway through. He's like, well, if you don't let me talk, you know what I mean, then you face charges, chances of, you know, incarceration. So I already knew that I wasn't going to jail, so I already calmed down. My kid's mother, she's like, oh my gosh, he's not getting arrested, blah, blah, blah. She storms out the courtroom. It was just unbelievable. Of course, they made me wait live, so it wasn't too many of the people that seen what happened.
Right.
But I got up out of there. So then he said he was trying to appoint me a lawyer, right? So my court date was supposed to be last Thursday. So last Monday, I called them. I called the dude because I went online and to show who this lawyer supposedly is going to be. I called his office or whatever, and he called me back, and I just told him, you know what I mean? I don't give you permission to run my estate, and basically you're fired, you know what I mean? And he was just like, you know, are you sure I can do some things for you? I already got us an extension. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, the main thing that I need to do is my lien is my UCC, because I feel as though all of this, I wouldn't even never came to this stage if I had the UCC file promptly, like at the same time. But that's what I'm working on right now is my lien or whatever. But the court, they want to assign me this lawyer or whatever, right? Long story short. And tomorrow I'm supposed to go in. My intention is then when I go in, straight up tell them, you know what I mean? I may talk to him on the side and say something crazy. Like, this is what I was, you probably going to correct me, but what I was thinking, talk to him on the side, like, listen, if you can get this case dismissed right now, I got all the evidence and everything you need in my file. If you can get it, you can look at it. If you can get it dismissed, then you can do the job. If you can't do that for me, you're fired. And when I get in the court, I'm going to fire you if you want to persist on doing this, and I'm going to bring charges against you for trying to administrate my estate. You know what I mean? That's what my plan is to do. But I was calling for that, and basically, I definitely need to hook up with you, Jonah, personally, for my lien. This is very special for me. So I know I need to do the consultation, but we need to hook up. So I need to get this done. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, sorry about that. You know, they cut me off. I had to come back in.
All right, I'm sorry about that. I don't know if you heard anything, but basically, Jonah, my question is two questions. They're trying to appoint me a lawyer. I think I know what to do. I just want to hear your feedback. And
you
basically, I need to hook
it.
Up.
You already said. You already said what you need to say to him. You got to put it in writing. You fire. You fire. You fire. Send it.
Okay.
Notary present and all that. What's the next one?
So how would I do that if I got court tomorrow though?
Then you do it
that's
in
the,
person.
Anyone in that's here? That's what I'm saying. When I. So put it in writing and go to court and tell him in court on the record, right?
Yep. And
okay.
Make sure you have copies for everyone.
Okay. All right. Okay. And the next question is, can I email
you?
You
said
I just no, that was my first question, right?
Nah, you did two questions, but go ahead.
All right, you're the best, man. Thanks. Listen, I just basically need to hook up with you. I bought the whatchamacallit yesterday, last night, the UCC or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
my same question that happened before, I still have.
What?
Yeah. It's basically, all right. Actually, I have two. It's not two, but one is not a question, but it's a comment. I can't really see all of the writing on the color of law form and the notes box or comments mm-hmm. box right underneath the addresses or whatever. I can't see the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, on the actual lien, man. On the actual, not the lien. I don't want to confuse it. But it's one of those papers. You got CARE USA.
Mm-hmm.
I know
what's funny.
That's the same question that happened like 3 months ago.
I was gonna do a show on the non-UCC. People understand what I'm gonna have to do it next week or so, whatever. But I'm gonna have to go through the whole thing. You brought up this rule 5.1. I went into that today. I got
okay.
you. I got you. Real.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Peace to the God.
Peace to the God.
All right, we're gonna be going to break. When we come back from break, I'm gonna go into. My rule 5.1, we're going to go over it and see if Jonah got any mistakes in it. I don't think I do. We'll be back. Peace.
Thank you.
to the guards. You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
HindsightRadio.com, the information station.
Do you have legal troubles? Are you getting detained and arrested without a warrant?
Are you having trouble asserting your rights?
The Matrix is here.
There's a maximum law which states he who fails to assert his rights has none.
When policemen break the law, then there isn't any law. Just the fight for survival.
Do you feel that the servant of the people has exceeded the limitations prescribed by the Constitution?
Do you feel that your secure and protected rights has been violated?
Then you need to know about super injunction.
Get on a do not detain list in all states of and the District of Columbia.
Visit HindsightRadio.com.
You have to see it for yourself.
Go to show schedule and contact Info, where you can get the super injunction webinar and templates from any of the radio show hosts.
Visit HindsightRadio.com.
HindsightRadio.com, the information station.
Yeah, let's take them back. Coming up, I was confused. My mommy kissing the girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committing felony. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody. I wanna live good. Shit, I sell dope for a four finger ring. One of them go ropes. Nana told me if I pass, I get a sheepskin coat. I can move through packs, I get the hat. Now that'd be dope. Tossed and turned in my sleep that night. Woke up the next morning, niggas stole my fight. Different day, same shit, ain't nothing good in the hood. I run away from this bitch and never come back if I could. Needed to love it, the underdogs on top. And I'm gon' shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Needed to love it, the underdogs on top. And I'm gon' shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. On the grill of my lowrider, guns on both sides, right above the gold wires, I-4-5 'em. Kill a nigga on my soul to really do it, that's the true meaning of a ghost rider. Send Jesus, take your daughter out of Air Forces. Believe you me, homie, I know all about losses. I'm from Compton, where the wrong colors, be cautious. One phone call, I had your body dumped in Marston. I stay strapped like car seats, been banging since my little nigga Rob got killed for his Barclays. That's 10 years, I told Pooh in 95, I'll kill you if you try me for my Air Max 95s. Told Banks when I met him, I'm homicide. I ain't had 50 cent when my grandmama died. Now I'm going back to Cali with my Jacob on. See how time flies. The underdogs on top. And I'm gonna shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Need to love the underdogs on top. And I'm gonna shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. From the beginning to the end. Lose is lose, win is win, this is real, we ain't got to pretend, the cold world that we in, it's full of pressure and pain, enough of me, nigga, now listen to gang.
Used to see 5-0, throw the my bitch, now I'm fucking with 5-0, it's all starting to make sense. My mom's happy, she ain't gotta pay the rent, and she got a red bow on that brand new bench. Waiting on shot money to land, sitting in the range, thinking how they spent $30 million on airplanes, when his kid's starving. Pockets going and Brenda still throwing babies in the garbage. I wanna know what's going on, like I hear Marvin. No school books, they use that wood to build coffins. Whenever I'm in the booth and I get exhausted, I think, what if Marie Baker got that abortion? I love you,
Ma. And I'm gon' shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP. I'm going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Need to love it, the underdogs on top. And I'm gon' shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP. And I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
Tune in to Hindsight Radio.
Peace to the gods.
going on tonight.
We're about to go live and direct, live in effect.
Seven shows. Seven nights. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
On Hindsight Radio.
Monday.
Y'all listen to Hindsight Radio with your boy, Jonah Beck. What's going on?
Tuesday.
Peace to the God. It's Tuesday with your host, Akeem Hell.
Wednesday.
And in case y'all didn't know it, you are listening to Hindsight Radio with your business consultation Wednesday. You know what I mean?
Thursday.
What's good? It's your boy. Yo.
Friday.
Open mic Friday. Real bad. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Saturday.
You're now listening to the Sleep Sheep Show. And I'm your host, giving you the most uno self, a.k.a. the White Bay.
Sunday.
How y'all feeling tonight? On the bottom line, the host, Tony Bell.
Right? Hindsight Radio.
The information station. Changing the nation.
Top of the year, nigga.
Oh, you still fucking blind, because you still keeping with this love and hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love being me. All these niggas fake. Look them in their eyes, I can see the hate. Well, the color got knocked, couldn't be this case. They thought it would have been me sitting in this place. I can't.
Keep it locked. You're tuned in to Jonah Bay on Hindsight Radio.
All right, I'm back. Yo, we had crazy technical difficulties, man. I couldn't do nothing. I thought it was Joey helping me out. It must have been our team or Khalifa, or whoever was helping me out on the board, man. I must appreciate it. And the whole nine. I don't know, man. It seems like it's always technical difficulties when it's my show. Who's this 816-225?
That's Joe.
Yeah, I thought that was Joey. That's why I told
that is, that's
you.
Me.
That's me. But who was doing everything else if it wasn't you? Who
I
got
don't
ghosts?
Know. Somebody's in here is the host.
Who's the host? Oh, that
I
was
can. Yeah.
How'd you know I was having problems?
Because I can see it on my screen.
It was frozen like a motherfucker out there.
Peace to the God.
Joey and Akeem.
Peace.
After the break, I don't know what was playing for break or what happened. A lot of y'all that's having problems with y'all court cases, y'all definitely need to go pick up the writ appendicitis in the site. Say it for me, Akeem. You know I'll be fucking up on that. Oh, he didn't went back out.
Penendus Indecisis.
Penendus Indecisis. We got the webinar for y'all and the what's name. What that does is put y'all back into an Article 3 court. Or if y'all want to go get that, so go to JonahBay.com and go pick that up and get on that ASAP. And then you utilize that, you won't even have to do a Rule 5.1 for all of y'all that didn't get that in timely. This Rule 5.1 is for you. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm going to go into this Rule 5.1 that I did so many years ago. Man, that's the problem with when you teach it, man. You forget what you've already done. All right? So, top of the page, you know, of course, I always have this at all. Everything I do, where it puts me in the private, in my private 9-8 trust. Notice of special appearance. Jonah John Bay. I have my US DOT number. Don't worry about it. Y'all don't have that. Don't worry about having that. beneficial owner, first lien holder of Scott Jonah John Estate, doing business as Jonah John Scott. Copyright registered and trademarked. Now, when y'all do that non-UCC and y'all do it correct, y'all will have the power. Your 9-8 will be the first lien holder and beneficial owner of that straw man, and that straw man will be copyrighted, registered, and trademarked. So if y'all want, y'all can go up on JonahBay.com, and there is the template for the non-UCC. I finally got it up here for y'all to utilize. Soon, I will be doing a class on the non-UCC, so y'all have full understanding of what's in there and how to utilize it to get the status that you want. Because when I did my non-UCC filing, came back, wrote me, and said, I'm not a U.S. citizen anymore. Y'all want that same type of status. That's a real status, correct. I don't know what the fuck everyone else is doing out there, but we're doing real shit over here at Hindsight Radio. But anyway, next line, it says, in the Municipal Court of Atlanta, Georgia. And it's, of course, the state of Georgia versus Scott Jonah John, Corp Soul, doing business, Jonah John Scott. Then on the other side of it, it says case number. You would put the case number, and it says notice of motion and motion to intervene, notice of constitutional challenge, statute, and motion to intervene. So this is the paper that's arising, as the rule said, giving rise to the constitutional question. It says, take notice that pursuant to Federal Rules of Procedure, Rule 5.1A, the defendant listed in above style action will make an application for a short leave to be granted for application and relief under 24.1 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure on the grounds of A. I mixed 24.1 in there because that's the one that's telling them to pause. Says on the following grounds. A, challenge of the constitutionality of the state statute. And I have number 140-5-29. Number 2, I got OCGA 40-5-121. Number 3, I got OCGA 40-6-20. And number four, I got OCGA, and I couldn't see the other number. I knew it should have been 40-0-90, but when I looked it up, it didn't show because the citation number wasn't clear. So then I wrote down citation number. I wrote law on citation number 4574161 is unreadable. So they knew exactly I was challenging the law on that citation as well. But most likely it was 40 because they all had to do with driving without license, suspended, no license, and all that type of stuff, right? Same stuff y'all go through. Then the next thing I put, and take further notice that the matter is to be argued and set for trial 14th day of June 2014. Why did I put that? I put it 60 days out from the date of this constitutional challenge, just like the rule 5.1 told you that I just read, right? Then I went in and said, and take further notice that an affidavit filed on, and I put the same date that I put this in, March 2014, was filed in this court in support of the defendant's defense. Now, a lot of y'all are not putting in the affidavit in support of the Rule 5.1. So, I did an affidavit, and this is what the affidavit said. I Googled Georgia's right to travel to Travel Act, and it was an act that they were trying to pass here in Georgia, and it was done by the General Assembly, the act of Georgia's local Congress, if you will. And I just turned this act into an affidavit by putting the style, the caption on the top, and made it my affidavit. And it went like this. Number one, the free people have a common law and constitutional right to travel on the roads and highways that are provided by their government for that purpose. License of a driver's license cannot be required of a free people because taking on restrictions of a license requires surrender of unalienable rights. In England in 1215, the right to travel was enshrined in Article 42 of the Magna Carta. It shall be lawful for any person for the future to go out of our kingdom and return safely and securely by land or by water, saving his allegiance to us unless in time of war or some short space for the common good of the kingdom, accepting prisoners and outlaws according to the laws of the land and of the people of the nation at war against us, and merchants who shall be treated as above said. Whereas rights secured by the Constitution of the United States and the state of Georgia are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation that would arbitrate these rights. And the claim and exercise of the constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon an individual because of the exercise of the constitutional right. And then it goes on and it has all the case laws that those captions was taken from, which was DePerl versus Thomas in the whole nine. And that was a one-page affidavit that supported that, you know, the Supreme Court, the Magna Carta, and the Constitution all said I had the right to travel freely. Now, also, y'all can put this inside y'all's injunction, too, because it's right and exact for travel. When you're flying or traveling or whatever, it's all the right to travel. But that was my affidavit. A lot of y'all have not put an affidavit in support of your actual Rule 5.1. I want y'all to start putting that in there, is why I bring it up. Now, let me go back to my Rule 5.1 that I did personally. And it shut down all my and take further notice that the material facts giving rise to this constitutional question is as follows. Number one, the offense number are listed in paragraph 2A is I, III, and IV, which is, you know, ticket 1, ticket 2, ticket 3, and ticket 4. Number two, the date of the alleged offense, the 18th on November 2013. Number three, the date set for trial is on the 14th day of June 2014. Number four, the defendant's unalienable rights protected by the 1877 Georgia Constitution as ratified without subsequent amendments and the 1877 Bill of Rights, right to travel, has been violated. Five, defendant unalienable rights were violated, protected by the 1877 Georgia Constitution as ratified without subsequent amendment. 1877 Bill of Rights, paragraph 16, the right of the people to be secure in persons, houses, and papers in effect against unreasonable search and seizures shall not be violated and no warrant shall be issued except upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing place or place to be violated. Now, I want y'all to know, all of this came directly out of the 1877 Georgia Constitution. So, here, once again, I don't see how anyone could say that I made a mistake on the Rule 5.1 because I followed the direct rules of Rule 5.1 and then I cut the Constitution into this, so this nigga is full of hot air. You know what I mean? I just don't. Some people just want to be seen, I guess. I don't know. So, nigga need to go somewhere else with that bullshit.
recovery. Now, what I'm saying is, in number six, defendant has yet to receive discovery. I'm talking about, where is the warrant and the affidavit in support of the warrant that gave them the right to pull me over? You see what I'm saying? That's what six meant. I'm very short and direct to the point when I write stuff. Now, number seven, substantive law is in support of the defendant's defense. The substantive law that I gave them was that affidavit. It was the Magna Carta. It was the Constitution. And it was Shapiro versus whatever that was the Supreme, if it was in the Supreme Court. Gave them three sources of substantive law that supported that I have the right to travel. Then it goes on and says, and take further notice that the grounds for this constitution in question is as follows. The municipal court of Atlanta complied with Rule 24.2 of the Federal Rules of Procedure. Number two, that the municipal court of Atlanta rescheduled the trial until constitutional balance is examined. And number three, the municipal court of Atlanta delayed trial until requirements of the Supreme Court of Georgia and the state of Georgia attorney has been properly placed on notice. Then I did a certificate of service. I wrote it, signed and dated, put my name and address, March 14th, Jonah John Bay, registered owner of Jonah John Scott Corp. Sold, doing business at Jonah John Scott, care of, address, in the I put Georgia in the four corners, State Republic near. I put the zip code in four corners, and I sent one to the Solicitor General of Georgia, had his address. I did one to the Clerk of Court,